Okay, today's daf is Brachos daf Mem Zayin. We left off on daf Mem Vav and Bezel, the very last line of the page. Tana Rabbanan Ein Mechad Nelo B'drachim. Today's shir is sponsored by Shaki Klar, Li'ilui Nishmas, Yanti Bas Avram, Nisham Shrev and Aliyah. And we thank Shaki Klar very much for the sponsorship. And also by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. And we thank Dr. Lander again for the sponsorship as well. So we're holding at the very last line on daf Mem Vav and Bezel. And we're going to discuss giving cover to people as you're traveling, as you're walking through a doorway. And the reason we're discussing that is because we want to talk about being mechabit someone to lead the benching and being mechabit other people as far as what the proper protocols are when it comes to saying a bracha, who's going to be botseya, when the botseya is allowed to taste from the bread, when the other people are allowed to taste from the bread, what's considered part of the bracha. So a lot of protocols when it comes to the bracha, and that's going to lead us into the sugya of answering amen, because if answering amen is part of the bracha, so we're going to talk about how to answer amen properly, and specifically some improper ways to answer amen, as well as the schar that one gets for answering amen properly and the punishment one gets for not answering amen properly. And then the Gemara is going to go through all of the cases in the Mishnah where we spoke about people who were eating things that maybe they should not have been eating, and in some of the cases we said they could still be mitzarif to a zimun, other cases we cannot. So we're going to go through each of those cases, why the ones that they can be mitzarif is not a problem of eating machalos asurus where you're not allowed to be mitzarif, why the ones that are not allowed to be mitzarif are actually a problem. So it's going to go through case by case, and in that context we're going to come up with a get of how we define what's called an Amma Aretz, who qualifies as an Amma Aretz, and then at the very end of the daf we're going to discuss who could be mitzarif to a minion. What if you have only 9 people but it looks like there are 10 people, or you have 9 people plus the Aron, or you have 9 people plus a Katan, or 9 people plus an Eved? Can we ever be mitzarif to a minion when you don't actually have a full minion of 10 people? That's going to be Be'ezer Hashem at the very end of the daf. So let's begin. Mem Vav and Beis Tanra about the last line of the page. Tanur Rabbanan ein mechabdin lo bedrachim v'lo begesharim. One is not supposed to be mechabed someone who is gadol emenu to go in front of him if they're just traveling on the road or if they're going over a bridge. And the reason is that it's a sakana. Traveling on the derech and certainly going over a bridge was considered to be a sakana, and it's not appropriate to be mechabed somebody b'makom sakana. The Talmid of Rabbi Yonah explained that you want to get over the bridge as quickly as possible. You don't want to stand on ceremony and spend more time on a rickety bridge where at any moment it could collapse. So you just want to get through it as quickly as possible. Other Rishonim say, no, it's not about getting through it as quickly as possible. It's that the bridge is dangerous. So you don't know, it might be dangerous. You don't know how dangerous it is until it's tested. So you can be mechabit the other guy to go first. Yeah, you go first. Let's see how it works out for you. So that's not a kibud that you're telling him to go first over the bridge. V'lo b'yadai mezuhamos. And at the end of a meal, we're also not mechabit someone to wash mayim achronim first. That's a Rashi in the sense that we're talking about mayim achronim. So Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah and other Rishonim raise the question, well, wait a second. We just had yesterday that when it comes to washing mayim achronim, there are 100 people there, so you must chilim and akatim. But then when you get to the last 5, we are mechabit the gadol to go first. So what do you mean we're not mechabit b'yadai mezuhamos? We're not mechabit mayim achronim. If you have 5 or fewer people, the gadol washes mayim achronim first. So they explain that no, the idea of gadol washing mayim achronim first is not a din in the covet of the gadol, it's a din in the covet of the bracha, that we want to give him time to look over the bracha. So it's all about the covet of the bracha. Nafkamina would be who goes right after the 5th to last guy to wash mayim, the 5th to last guy to wash mayim achronim, that's going to be the gadol. Who's the 4th to last guy to wash mayim achronim? Is that the guy who's one level below the gadol, or do you then go to the katan shabakulam, because there's no kibud in washing mayim achronim first? It's all a din about the bracha, and only the one who's saying the bracha needs the time to look over the bracha. So that's what the Rishonim say, that it's all a din in the bracha. It's not a kibud of washing mayim achronim first. Ravin v'abayi have a ka'azi borcha. Ravin v'abayi were traveling on the road. Kad mechamre de Ravin v'abayi. And Ravin's chamar jumped ahead of Abayi's, ran ahead of Abayi's chamar. V'lo amrle nezel mar. And Ravin never said to Abayi, why don't you go ahead? After all, to try to be mechabin Abayi, who's his Rebbe. So Amar midasalik haymi rabbanim marava gasle daite. So Abaye says, wow, ever since this guy came back from living in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, he became this big balgaiva. He doesn't care that his chamar ran in front of him. He should have shown me proper kavod. Ben Yoyada says, Abaye is going to get so upset about not being shown kavod. No, it's kavod at Torah, it's kavod at tzibur, it's kavod of the position, it's everything else. It's not his own personal kavod that he was worried about. One could argue, just very simply, that if you see a Talmud is not acting with proper kavod toward the Rebbe, even if you're the Rebbe and you're not makbar in your own kavod, you have to think, how's he going to behave with other Talmidei Chachamim? And that's something that needs to be corrected. So you got to come up with a way to correct the behavior anyway. So Abaye was upset. He's not acting appropriately. But then Kimata l'pischa de Beknishta, when they got to the doorway of the Beis HaKnesses that they were going to, Samalei Neil Mar. All of a sudden, Revan is being mechaber Abaye, and why don't you go in first? Samalei v'adhashalav marana. So Abaye couldn't hold it in. He couldn't contain himself. He says, up until now, I wasn't deserving of cover the whole way here. You're always jumping ahead of me. And now, when we get to the Beis HaKnesses, now all of a sudden you're showing me kavod. Amalei, hachi am Rabbi Yochanan, ein mechabdin, el v'pesach sheish b'mezuzah. He says, I didn't tell you that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi used to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn from Rabbi Yochanan. When he'd come back from Eretz Yisrael, he would say over all of the things that he learned from Rabbi Yochanan. He says, one of the things I learned from Rabbi Yochanan is that when you're mechabit of gadol to go in front of you, it's only in a Pesach that has a mezuzah, and while we're traveling on the road, there's no Pesach there, so there's no reason to be mechabit you. But now we're at the Beis HaKnesses, so now it's considered a kibud to ask you to go in front of me. So says more dispa mezuzah in the lespa mezuzah low elamayat Beis HaKnesses Beis HaMedrash lespa mezuzah hachinami de'ein mechabdin. Well, wait a second. If it has a mezuzah, that's when you're mechabit. If it doesn't, you don't. Well, then how come by a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash we're mechabit people? The halacha is a Beis HaKnesses does not require a mezuzah. Beis HaMedrash is machlokas. Beis HaKnesses, it's pashut in halacha, does not require a mezuzah. The reason you see mezuzahs on Batei Knesios is for one of two reasons. Either because people are willing to pay thousands of dollars to dedicate them and they don't want to say no, or v'odiyei shlomar, that Batei Knesios are not always treated with the full kavod of Batei Knesios, that people eat in the Batei Knesios, people sometimes even talk sichas chulin in the Beis HaKnesses. So if it's not treated with the full kavod of a Beis HaKnesses, so then maybe it doesn't have the full kedushas Beis HaKnesses, so people are machmir to put a mezuzah on a Beis HaKnesses. But really, a Beis HaKnesses does not require a mezuzah. So over here, what happened? They got to the Beis HaKnesses and he was mechabed him. And so how can you say that if it doesn't have a mezuzah, you're not mechabed? Ela'ema bepesach ha-ra'i le-mezuzah. No, what we mean is a structure, a doorway that structurally would require a mezuzah. Granted, there are different reasons based on how the room is used that maybe it wouldn't require a mezuzah, but based on it's a kanamikan, the kanamikan, the kanal gabeim, you have a basic doorpost that structurally would require a mezuzah, that's where you're mechabit a person. It's not about having a mezuzah per se, right? There are different reasons why sometimes you don't need a mezuzah. Sometimes you have a room that's a living room and it's used all the time and it's absolutely, as a room, it should be required a mezuzah. Elamai, there's no actual doorpost on the way in. So if there's no doorpost on the way in, it's just like this open thing. So there's nowhere you don't put a mezuzah because of that. But sometimes you have a perfectly good doorpost, but the way the room is used is going to exempt from mezuzah. It's a bathroom, it's a shower room, something like that. It doesn't require a mezuzah. So over here we're saying if structurally the doorpost has a mezuzah, would require a mezuzah, even though a Beis HaKnesses doesn't require a mezuzah, you would still be mechabed. Amar Rabbi the Brei Roshmol Barshilas Meshmei Derav. Ein Rashon Lechol Klum Achiyitam Habotzeya. No one, Ein Amasubin Rashon Lechol Klum Achiyitam Habotzeya. The people sitting at the meal are not allowed to eat anything until the guy who said the Hamotzi eats first. Yosef Rav Safra Vekamer Litomitmar. That it was said, it wasn't said Ein Rashon Lechol, that they're not allowed to eat. It's Ein Rashon Litom Achiyitam Habotzeya. The Lashon that was used in explaining, in saying over this halacha, was not that they're not allowed to eat until the botzeya is toim, but they're not even allowed to be toim until the botzeya is toim. Says Mar Lamai Nafkamina. What difference? Either way, I get it. You're not allowed to put the challah challah in your mouth until the botzeya puts the challah in his mouth. Over here, there's no nafkamina between ti'ima and achila. So says Gemara, the only nafkamina is shechayv adam lomar b'lashon rabo, that there's a requirement. The Mishnah tells us in Maseches Eduyos in the first parak that a person is supposed to say things over in the same lashon that his Rebbe said things. That's why the Gemara said, the Mishnah over there says in Maseches Eduyos that a malei hin mayim, that the Talmidim of Shmayan Avtalion used to talk about a certain measure of water. A hin is a measure of water. They said a malei hin mayim. Why would they say malei hin? Obviously, if it's a hin, it's a full hin. As long as you don't say chati hin, it means a hin. Now, because Shmayan Avtalion were gerim and they couldn't pronounce the letter hey. It's likely that we're not pronouncing the letter hey properly either. But they couldn't pronounce the letter hey. And therefore, when they said hin, it sounded like in, and no one knew what they were talking about. So they had to contextualize it in order to make it understandable. So Shmaya Naftalion would say, Malei hin mayim. So when the Talmidim would say the halacha, even though the Talmidim were native Jews, they were not gerim, they knew how to pronounce the letter hey, they would also say, Malei hin mayim, even though the Talmidim knew how to pronounce hin. Some of them, Farshim and Mishnayis, go so far as to say that the Talmidim mispronounced the word hin because that's the way their Rebbe said it, that they said it with the accent. They said, and that's why they had to say malei hin. So that's the Indian. I once heard of Shechter. I think he was joking. He said over something from Rav Soloveitchik with Rav Soloveitchik's Russian accent, and he said chayv adam lomar b'lashon rabo. But he was referring probably to that perish on the Mishnah Maseches Eduyos that even the accent you would say b'lashon rabo. Why is it that a person has to be so careful to say b'lashon rabo? I mean, just say over whatever the Rebbe said. Why do you have to say it exactly in the same lashon? So there are two basic mahalchim. In Yalkut HaMi'iri, he says that first of all, it could be that by changing the lashon, you could be losing some of the kavana, some of the meaning of what the Rebbe said, what the Rebbe meant. Sometimes the Talmud doesn't fully appreciate what the Rebbe means, the depth of the statement, and he only understands it on one level, and therefore he translates it into different words on his level of understanding. But it could be that he's losing a lot in terms of the understanding of what the Rebbe actually meant. That's why we say the Mishnah says Havishosa b'tzameis devrayim, that you should drink with thirst. You should drink the words of the Chachamim. Why not say that that ochel b'ra'aves devrayim, that you should eat with hunger their words? Why is it shosa b'tzama? So that's what the Mefarshim explain, that when you eat something and you digest it, it changes. But that's not the way you're supposed to deal with divrei Chachamim. It should be like drinking water. It goes in and out. It's just water. No, it doesn't go through any real change. It doesn't. So that's the way we're supposed to treat divrei Chachamim, to be shosa b'tzama, to drink it without any sort of shinoi at all. The other possibility of why you have to say b'lashon rabo is so that sometimes a Rebbe says something in a certain signon. He has a certain style of saying something. And if you just say it in your own style, so people are going to forget the Rebbe's unique style. I know Rav Shechter is always very makbid about a lot of people who say over Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, and they make it sound like a yeshivish rage shir. He said that Rav Soloveitchik got an entirely different style, an entirely different way of presentation. It so minimizes him when you say things over just like it's a regular yeshivish rage shir. Nothing against yeshivish rage shir, but that wasn't him. It wasn't what he was like. So he gets very upset by it. I never understood why he got so upset. It's making the Torah from salvation accessible to everybody else, but that's what it is. It's to take it takes the uniqueness away from the Talmud Chacham. Okay, so that's Chayv Adam Lomar B'Lashon Rabo. Tana Rabbanan, Shnayim Mamtinim Zelda Zabakar. If you have two people eating from the same plate, so when one of them pauses in order to take a drink, let's say, the other one should stop eating as well. That's Derech Eretz. Shlosha Ein Mamtinim. But if there are three people and one of them pauses to take a drink, the other two don't have to stop eating. Habotzeya Hu Poshit Yado Tchila. The Balabais, that's Botzeya, the bread that cuts the challah, even when there's someone who's Gadol Mimenu, there he's the one that takes first from the condiments that are there for the bread. V'im Balachlo Kavod L'Rabbel Misha Gadol Mimenu Harshos Piyado. But if he wants to give Kavod to his Rebbe or to someone else who's there who's Gadol Mimenu, so he's allowed to do that. Rav Baruch Hanu Hava Asik Le'Lebrei Be'Rav Shmuel Barav Ketina. Rav Baruch Hanu married off a son to the daughter of Rav Shmuel Barav Ketina. So Adam v'Yasiv v'kamasin le'lebrei. So Rabbi Bar Bechana was preparing his son how to run a su'uda because he's the chassan, he's the guest of honor. So the minhag was and still is that the chassan is the one that's botzeya. They have that giant challah, the simcha challah or whatever. The chassan is the one that cuts it. So he was giving him tips on how to be botzeya. So he was telling him, "Eina botzeya Rashi levtzah chiyichla amein mipia onim." Don't be botzeya until everyone answers amen. You have to wait till people finishing answer amen to the bracha, because the amen is considered a portion of the bracha. And you're not supposed to be botzeya. We already learned earlier in Daf Lametes, you're not supposed to be botzeya until the bracha is over. So you have to make sure that the bracha is finished and your part is not the end of the bracha. When people answer amen, that's the end of the bracha. The Gemara Masecha Shavuos and Daf Lamed Vav says that amen is a confirmation that what was said was true, that the bracha that was recited is true. So the Rishonim point out, the Torah quotes in some Kuf Chav Dalet, that when you say a bracha, you're being made that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Makar HaBracha. So the Ona Amein is the second aid. So based on that, they say that's why the Amein is a chilek of the bracha. You're being mitzarif the Ona with the Mivarech to have Shnei Eidim, that there's that everything in the bracha is in fact true. So there's a Shailin Poskim, it's Eliezer, as a tshuva, does a person have to go out of his way to dafka say a bracha out loud so that there will be an amen to the bracha? Or no, if someone hears a bracha, they have to answer amen. But if you're being motzi someone, obviously you have to say it out loud. But you're saying a bracha to yourself, maybe you don't have to say it out loud. So Tzitz Eliezer comes to the conclusion, it's a good thing to do, it's a nice thing to do, not an obligation, but it's the right thing to do, to give an opportunity to answer amen. It certainly enhances the bracha. Rav Chista says, you don't have to wait till everybody finishes their amen, you can wait until the majority finish their amen, and that's good enough. So Amalei Rabbi Bar Chama, Maishna Ruba Da'akati Lo Kal Yibracha, Mutanami Lo Kal Yibracha. He says, well, what's the difference between a Rov and a Miut? If Rov of the people didn't yet answer Amen, so the Bracha is not over. Even if just some of the people didn't finish answering Amen, the Bracha is not over yet. So Amalei Shaini Omer, Kol Ha'ona Amen, Yosir Midai, Eino El Atoa. No, you shouldn't reward people for taking too long to answer Amen, because they're mistaken. So once the majority of people have finished answering Amen, you could assume that the Amen was done properly, and that's when you move on. You don't give people that respect of who are taking too long to answer Amen. Tan Rabban, Ein Onin Lo Amen Chatufa V'Lo Amen Ketufa V'Lo Amen Yisoma V'Lo Yizrok Bracha Mipiv. So four Amen problems. Number one is, well, three of them are Amen problems, one of them is a bracha problem. You shouldn't say an Amen Ketufa. That means that Rashi says to say the Aleph without a kamatz, but with a shva, like Amen, as opposed to Amen. And Lo Amen Ketufa, that's at the tail end of the Amen, to take away the Nun, to not pronounce the Nun properly, as if Amen, without the Nun at the end. V'lo Amen Yisoma means you have no idea what bracha you're saying Amen on, that you shouldn't do that either. That's considered an Amen Yisoma. And the bracha issue, Lo Yizrak Bracha Mepiv, you shouldn't say a bracha very quickly without any kavana. You should say a bracha properly, so with patience, to make sure that you're having the proper kavana when reciting a bracha. Now, the idea of an Amen Yisoma is an interesting idea. You can't answer Amen if you don't know what bracha you're answering Amen to, if you didn't hear the bracha. There is a Gemara, a fairly well-known Gemara, at the very end of Masecha Sukkah, on Daf Nun Aleph and Beis, where it discusses the Beis HaKnesses of Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim, that they had Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. Nowadays, that would never happen. There would be 1,500 other break-off shuls before they had Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim. But they had Kiflayim Kiyotze Mitzrayim in the shul. They had 1.2 million people, whether it's a guzma or whatever, but there were a lot of people in the shul. So not everyone could hear the chazan. They didn't have, no matter how good the acoustics are, not everyone's going to be able to hear. So what they would do is they would wave flags so everyone would know when to answer Amen. So Rishonim raised the question, well, wait a second, how does that work? I thought it's an Amen Yisoma if you don't know what bracha you're answering Amen to. So the Rishonim point out that Tosfos already points out that over there it's different, because over there they knew which bracha they were answering Amen to. to. They just didn't hear the bracha that they were answering amen to. Over here, an amen yisoma is you don't even know what bracha, you just hear other people answering amen, so you're answering along with them. But you don't even know what bracha they're really answering amen to. Rabbeinu Yonah suggests that the isra of an amen yisoma is dafka if you're mechuyuv in that bracha and you want to be yotzei the chiyuv through the guy who's saying the bracha. And that's the problem of the amen yisoma. But in the Alexandria Shematzrayim, the people weren't mechuyuv in the bracha, they were davening themselves, they weren't mechuyuv in that bracha, and that's why it was not a problem of an amen yisoma over there. Those are the two basic mahalchim. There is another mahalch in just what amen yisoma means. The Meiri and the Abu Draham write that amen yisoma might mean that you hear the bracha, but you didn't answer amen quickly enough, that you pause too long, you let it sit for too long before answering amen. That's an amen yisoma. So maybe it's got nothing to do with not knowing what bracha was recited. So what's the punishment if a person does these answers amen in these inappropriate ways? So Benazai Omer, Kola ona amen yisoma, you bun of yisoma. His children will be yisoma, meaning he's going to die young. Chatufa, anyone who answers amen chatufa, yischatfu yamav, meaning he's going to die young. Ketufa, yischatfu yamav, meaning he's going to die young, right? It sounds like all of them mean that he's going to die young. V'kola marich b'amen, and anyone who's marich b'amen properly, not yoser midai, that we said already is inappropriate, but someone who's marach b'amein, and the Rishonim point out, the Ravya and the Arzurua point out that what's the proper haracha is the amount of time that it takes to say the words, kel melech ne'aman. The Arzurua says, because amein is Rosh Tevos of kel melech ne'aman, so you should be able to be mechavim for kel melech ne'aman, as if you're saying that you're being meyed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the kel melech ne'aman. In the Hilchos Brachos La'Ritva, he says that you should be marich b'amein to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu al-shamayim v'al-aretz v'al-arba ruchos ha'olam. That's the kavana when answering amen. So someone who's marich b'amein marich lo yamu v'shnosav. So then he's going to get arichos yamu v'shanim. That's the schar that one gets for being marich b'amein. So we've had that a few times already in the Masechta, that's a schar for something. Shnayim mikra v'chatarugum is marich in yamu v'shnosav. And then kol marich be'echad, when you say Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad, that we have in Daf Yud Gimel, is also Marich Lo Yamav Shnosav. Yet several times in the Masechta where we have such a bracha that a person is going to be Marich Lo Yamav Shnosav. Ben Yoyada just points out that it seems a little bit strange that all three of the inappropriate amens, we say it's going to shorten his life, but we use different lashonos to describe how it's going to shorten the person's life. Why don't you just say anyone who answers an amen yisoma or chatufa or ketufa is going to not have a richus yam? He's gonna have the opposite of arichas yam. So Ben Yoyada says no. They must mean three different things. He says ban of yisomim doesn't mean he's gonna die young. It means it's gonna be yisomim b'chaye avihem, that there's such an inyan that if a father's unable to care for his children, to provide for his children, so the children are considered to be yisomim b'chaye avihem. And also he says that the yischatfu yamav means that his days are going to be filled with so much tsar that he's going to view them as short days. The pasuk says in the Tocha, "B'boker tomer mi'itein erev, u'be'erev tomer mi'itein boker." That's what it means. It doesn't mean that he's going to die young. And then the other one of yiskatvu yamav, yeah, that's that probably means that he's going to die young. Okay, so Rav Shmuel v'Yasi b'sudasa, Rav and Shmuel were having a su'uda, and it was just the two of them. So Asrav Sim Barchia, when they finished their su'uda, Sim Barchia came, have a kumisrai v'achim. Sim Barchia starts gobbling down his food. Samalei Rav, ma'ide tachlis, Saruf Badan. What are you trying to do? You're trying to catch up so that you could be mitzdarif. Tarziman ananachlinalan. We already finished our meal. It's too late. You're not going to, once we finished, since we finished before you started, you can't join the Zeman. If you would have come in the middle while we were still eating, then you could join the Zeman. But we finished before you started. Samalei Shmuel. So Shmuel said to Rav, no, that's incorrect. Ilu maisili irdilaya v'gozlaya la'abba. If they would bring me Irdilaya, or they will bring you Abba, he referred to Rav as Abba, they will bring you bird meat, Milo Achlinon, wouldn't you eat from it? So since we didn't have a complete sea look from the Su'uda, so that's why it's still considered that we're in the middle of the Su'uda, and he could still join with us in our Su'uda. Right? When Shmuel refers to Rav, he refers to him as Abba. The Gemara in Rashi writes, Shmuel called Rav Abba as a kavod. In Yevamos, Rashi just adds that Rav was older than Shmuel, so Shmuel called him Abba because it's a lashon of kavod. So Tosas disagrees with Rashi about that. He says, no, Avram. He didn't call him Abba because it's a covenant. He called him Abba because that was his name. Rav's name was actually Abba. And he brings from our sugya and from many places that Shmuel and Rav Kahana would call Rav Abba. So it's a little bit difficult. How could Rav Kahana, Rav's Talmud, call him Abba if Abba was really his name? So Gehazi was punished because he called Elisha by his name. So maybe it's because Rav Kahana was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, but the Chidah in Pesach Einayim says that Rashi knew that what Rav's real name was. His name was Abba, but he meant that the Talmidim used to call him Abba not because that was his name, but they called him Abba as a Lashon of Kavod. And says the Chidah, you see from there, Halacha L'maisa, that even if a person's name is Abba, but you're calling him Abba in a Lashon of Kavod, then you're allowed to do it, even though it's a person that you're not allowed to call by their first name. So he says, Halacha L'maisa, that Abba is a name. People have the name Abba. What if your father's name is Abba? Are you allowed to call him Abba? Says the Chidah, as long as you're not calling him as long as your kavan is not to call him by his name, your kavan is to call him b'derech kavod, then you're allowed to call him Abba. Okay, Talmidim Rav Aviyasu b'Sudasa. Rav's Talmidim were sitting at the Su'uda. All Ravacha, and then Ravacha came before they finished. Amri also gav Rav d'mivarech lam. They said, "Ooh, a chashma person just came. Let's let him say the bracha for us." Amlu misav risu the gadol mivarech ikash b'Su'uda mivarech. Why, you think the gadol is one that says the bracha? No, the people who were there when the Su'uda started, one of them should say the bracha. The halach is now you give the gadol to be mevarich even if he came late. Now we're going to go through all of the different items that the Mishnah mentioned that when people eat, that some of them you can make a zim and some of them you can't. So achol demai, we said that if they ate demai, produce that was purchased from an ama aretz, so you could be mitzarif to a zimun. In fact, the Gemara halo chazilei, how could you be mitzarif to a zimun? You're not allowed to eat demai. It's a mitzvah babavera. How are you allowed to eat such a thing? So Rashi says over here, and the problem is you're not allowed to say a bracha on something that's machalos asuros. So how could you possibly be mizamin? Remember, we learned the other day, it's machlokas Rambam and Ravid, whether that's true that you're not allowed to say a bracha when you eat machalos asuros, whether you should or shouldn't say a bracha when you eat machalos asuros. But the Ravid assumes it's not that you're not allowed to say a bracha. Let's say you can't be mezami because there's no tziruf, there's no kvius, and zimun requires a tziruf and a kvius. But certainly, says the Ravid, you would say a bracha rishona because zasa lehanos min olam hazeh below bracha. So Rashi sounds a little bit more like the Rambam over here, that there would be no bracha when you ate something not kosher. But bottom line, the Gemara is asking, how could they be mitzarif to a zimun when they're eating demai? Says Gemara, it's not necessarily asuti demai because kiven the bayi mafkalin. After all, the person could make himself an ani, and an ani is allowed to eat demai. How could he make himself an ani? He could just be mafkir all of his nechasim. So the Acharonim are bothered by the kasha. Yeah, but he was not mafkir all of his nechasim. So they say, the Sholem Eshev and Pnei Shua, others, they point out, he wasn't mafkir all of his nechasim, but the definition of mitzvah ba'aveira is a mitzvah that can only be done through this aveira. So what do you want to say, that this is a mitzvah ba'aveira? No, he could have done it without doing the Avera. Granted, he didn't. They ate the Demai without being mafkir the Nechasim, but they could have eaten the Demai without doing the Avera. Mele, it's not a mitzvah ba'avera. It doesn't fit the geder of mitzvah ba'avera. Where do we see this idea that an ani is allowed to eat Demai? It's not machil nesaniyim Demai v'sachsanya Demai. You can give an ani to eat Demai and give a guest to eat Demai. Since Demai is really only a din midrabanan, because on a daraisa level we could rely on the rove Amei Aretz Ma'asrin, that the majority of Amei Aretz do take maestros. It's just that it's a significant enough minority that the Rabbanan made such a takana called Demai, so the Rabbanan only made that takana when it's not a desperate situation. But when it's an Ani, when it's an Achsanya, the Rabbanan never made such a din called Demai. It's an interesting discussion of Yosef Engel has, what is Demai asur b'toras safik or b'toras vadai? Meaning, let's say a person ate Demai, and then he discovered afterwards the amaretz that he bought from actually did take maestros. So is it like, oh, okay, good, now he didn't do any isser, so no need to do tshuva? Or do you say no, that there is an isser, it became a cheftz of machalos asuros on a drabbanan level, b'toras vadai, it's Demai. So that's where Yosef Engel has a discussion. We don't give the Beishamai disagree, and they say that we don't give aniyim and an achsanya demai to eat. Meiser rishon shnut l'trumas. We then said that if you eat meiser rishon, that the trumas meiser was taken from, so then you can make a zimun. Pshita, of course, everything's good. So says Malotzricha elishik dimo. Bashibalim. Now the case is the Maaser Rishon was taken by the Levi before they even did the Disha of the produce. So in the Truma Gedola was never taken. So the Levi took Trumas Maaser from his Maaser Rishon, but Truma Gedola was never given to the Kohen. And the reason you can make a Zeman on this is because the Halacha is that if you're Makdim Bishibalim and take the Maaser Rishon at that stage, before it ever became Tevel, then it's never going to require Truma Gedola. You have to take Trumas Maaser from Maaser Rishon, but Maaser Mina Maaser, but you don't have to take Truma Gedola and Trumas Maaser Mina Maaser. That even if the Truma Gedola was not taken yet from the Maaser Rishon, the Levi does not have to mafresh it. So Papa says, if that's true, that we darshan from this pasuk that a Levi who has Maaser only has to give Trumas Maaser, but not Truma Gedola, so then why don't we say that even if the Levi takes it after the Dayish and the Miruach, after they already threshed it and smoothed out the piles, but before the Kohen ever took his Truma Gedola, that even then the Levi won't have to give Truma Gedola from his Maaser Rishon? Amalei said, no, Alecha Makra, Mikol Ma'asro Sechem Tarimu. That's why the Pasuk says, Mikol Ma'asro Sechem Tarimu, to tell me that you do have to take Truma Gedola from Maaser sometimes. So, Mari Isa, but who told you which times you do and which times you don't? You have two competing drushes. One that says you take Truma Gedola from Maaser, one that says you don't. So we made up this idea that before the Dayish, if you took the Maaser Rishon before the Dayish, you wouldn't have to take Truma Gedola from the Maaser. And after the Dayish and Miruach, you would have to take. But Mari Isa, how do you know? So high idgan, high low idgan. If you were makdim bekri, it already became dagan. It already had a chiyuv of Truma Gedola, meaning once you had a gemar melacha, you did the threshing and the smoothing out of the piles, it became chayiv in Truma Gedola. So now you jumped the gun and you took Maaser Rishon, that's not going to exempt it from Truma Gedola. But if you chapit before there ever was a disha, it wasn't yet chayiv in Truma Gedola. So then you're not going to have to take the Truma Gedola from the Maaser Rishon. Then we said Maaser Sheni v'Hegdash Sheniftu. If you have Maaser Sheni, your Hegdash that you already redeemed it for money. So then you get and you eat it, you can be mitzarif to a zimun. Pshita, everything's good. Why wouldn't you be able to be? Now the case is you redeemed it for equivalent amount of money, but you didn't add the extra 25% that you're supposed to add when you're a poda maaser sheni. So it's telling us that the pidyon still works. You might have thought that the whole pidyon is invalid and it's still considered to be maaser sheni produce, and therefore if you're eating outside your shlaim, you're doing an avera. No, if you did a pidyon, even shava b'shava, it's going to work b'diavet. Hashamisha achal kazayis. If Hashamish eats a kazayis together with the people who are eating the meal, he could be mitzarif to the zimun. Pshit, of course, he ate. So ma'u detem Hashamish lokava, kamash mlan. I might have thought that no, kazayis is only enough when you're one of the people sitting at the table. But I might have thought that a waiter is never considered to be kavua enough that his eating of a kazayis would be, he would need to eat more than a kazayis, I would think. So kamash mlan, that even the Shamish just eating a kazayis is enough. Vakuti mizam love. Akuti, one of those people that came from Eretz Kuta that they weren't sure about their motivations for Gerus, whether Geri Emes or Geri Arayus, that were originally of the Chavman, the Melech Ashur, brought them to Eretz Yisrael and settled them in the Shomron. So you can include them in the Zimun. So my lo ye alama aretz, akuti should be no better than Ama Aretz. V'tanya in Zamin alama aretz. Abayi amar bakuti chaver. So Abayi answers, no, he's better than Ama Aretz because we're talking about akuti who's actually a chaver. He behaves like a chaver, not like an Ama Aretz. He's careful about Trumas and Maestros. Rava Amra Filu Tein Bekuti Amaretz. He could even be talking about a Kuti Amaretz. V'achab Amaretz Rabban and the Pligi Alei D'Rameir Askinan. Over here we're talking about a person who's considered an Amma Aretz according to the Shita of the Chacham that disagree with Rameir. Only such an Amma Aretz. You know how to be Mezami Love. I mean, there are different levels of Amma Aretz. This Kuti might be an Amma Aretz in the sense that he's maybe not perfectly careful about certain things, about Trumas, but he's not the level of Amma Aretz that we're talking about that ain't Mezami Love. That's a different Madrega of Ama Aretz. Titania, because the Brisa tells us, Ezu Ama Aretz, Kol Sheino Ochel Chulia B'Tahara. that what's in Amaretz? Divremeir. Remeir holds anyone who doesn't eat chulin betara. Whoa, that's a midas chasidus to eat all of his chulin betara. Anyone who doesn't live up to that standard is not Amaretz. That's a high level Amaretz. V'cham omrim kol sheinu ma'aser peiros of karoy. Someone who's not makom shumus ma'isos. Vani kutai asuri ma'aser kedechazi. These kutayim do not fit that definition of Amaretz because they do take ma'isos properly. How do I know? The b'may dechsev ba'raisa misr zihiri. Tom mar kol mitzvah shechziku ba'kutim harbi medaktim ba yoser mi'Yisrael. Kutim are even more careful about those mitzvos that they do than regular Jewish people are careful about mitzvos. Meaning that which is mefurish b'kra, they're very careful about. So as far as shumas and ma'isos, you can absolutely trust a kuti. He's not ochel chul and betara, so he's not Amaretz on that level, but he's not an Amaretz as far as shumas and ma'isos is concerned. Tan rabbanan ezu Amaretz. Brisa gives us other definitions of an Amaretz. Kol shein kor kriyas shema shachris ve'arvis. Anyone who doesn't say kriyas shema twice a day, such a person is an Amaretz. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. That's probably associated with the Gemara that tells us that the Gisa Bayom V'Layla, the Gemara says in Masechet Menachos, that minimally for a Talmud Torah, a person has to say Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. So someone doesn't even do that, the bare minimum of Talmud Torah. So that's what we're assuming. This is a Melitza, a way of saying what the minimum level of Talmud Torah would be, is at least Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis. I guess the modern version of that, the guy who doesn't even do Brachos Dav Beis, right? The guy who doesn't even try, right? Someone doesn't do even a bare minimum of Talmud Torah. Rabbi Shua Amar Kol Sheinu Meni tefillin. Someone who doesn't put on tefillin. Benazi amar kol shein lo tzitzis bebigdo. Someone who doesn't have tzitzis. Rabbi Nassim amar kol shein mezuzah al pisco. Someone who doesn't have mezuzah on his doorway. These are mitzvos that are constant mitzvos that are the basic definition of how a Jew is supposed to live. Rabbi Nassim amar Yosef amar kol shein shal banim vein megadim Talmud Torah. Someone who has children but he doesn't value Talmud Torah enough to try to educate his children to Talmud Torah. Acherim amar afilu karta v'shanav lo shimish tamid chanim. And then acherim say no. It could be a person who's very educated, knows a lot about all sorts of Torah books, but he was not Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim. Hareza Ama Aretz. Such a person is considered to be an Ama Aretz. The Gemara Maseches Megillah talks about a person who learned Hilchas Sifri, Sifra Tosefta, and then they asked Rav Nachman to be maspid him, and he said, "What should I say? That he was a box full of svarim," meaning he felt that he was never Mishamish Tamidei Chachamim. The fact that he learned all of those svarim, so he's a chamor, no si svarim. He's a donkey who carries a lot of svarim on his back, but that's not enough. A person has to have a sense of Shimush Tamidei Chachamim. Amar Rav Huna Alach Kacherim, and Rav Huna says, and that's what we paskin like Kacherim. Shimush Tamid Chacham. Rav Shachter pointed out to me once. I once picked him up from the airport, and he said, "What are you doing picking me up from the airport? It's for the younger Talmidim." So I said, "Gadol Shimush Yosam Milimudu Shimush Tamid Chacham." He said, "No, Shimush Tamid Chacham means that you look at the Hanhagos in order to be able to understand, how the Torah translates into real life and to pick up on certain hakpados and things like that. It doesn't mean to pick up the Rebbe's dry cleaning or something like that." He said that's not what Shimush Tamid Chacham means. So also, when the Gemara talks about Shimush Tamid Chacham, it means going through svaros and arguments back and forth in the Gemara uses it to describe how we learn Gemara with the Rebbe. That's what Shimush Tamid Chacham means. Rabbi Bar Chama lo azman alei Rabbi Nashe bar Tachlifa. Rabbi Bar Chama didn't want to be mitzdari for the Zimun with Rabbi Menashe. So the Tani Sifra v'Sifrei v'Hilchasa, even though he learned a lot of books, because he held that he wasn't Shimush Tamid Chacham. Kinach nafshi Rabbi Bar Chama. When Rabbi Bar Chama died, Amar Rava lo nachnafshei drum berchama el dulaz min Rav Nashe bar Tachlifa. Rav Berchama died as a punishment for not including Rav Nashe bar Tachlifa in the zimun. Va'tani achirim amar mafilu kar v'shanu v'lashim shomil chama reza amaretz. But wasn't he right? He was an amaretz because no matter how much he learned, he wasn't mishamish shomil chamim. Says Mar two answers. Number one, shani Rav Nashe bar Tachlifa the mashman l'arbanan v'Rami Berchama who dulo daka pasrei. He was mishamish shomil chamim. Rav Berchama was just unaware of it. He didn't do his research properly. Lishna akrina. The other answer is the shamish meitzim. That aside from learning the Mishnayos, he would learn the basis for the Mishnayos, the reasons for the Mishnayos from the Chachamim, and he would teach them over, and therefore consume Rabbanan Dami. That's considered Shimush Tamid Chachamim. He didn't pick up the Rebbe's dry cleaning, but he listened to the basis and the reasons and the svaras for all the Mishnayos, and he would teach that. That's good enough to make him a Tzurim Rabbanan. Achal Tevel Meiser. If a person ate Tevel or Meiser, can't include him in a Zimun. Tevel Pshita, of course, it's absolutely forbidden. No, we're talking about something that's only tevel on a drabbanan level, because it's not chayv and shumos on a darais level. Hechidami ba'at she'inu nakuf. Something that grew in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole at the bottom on a darais level is not chayv and shumos and maisos. Or maiser rishon. Someone eats maiser rishon that the shumos maiser was not taken from, not including zimun. Pshita lo tzricha gon shekdimo. Bekri. Now the case is that you that the Levi took the Maaser Rishon after the Miruach. I might have thought, like Rav Papa said to Abaye, that he asked him Namar Aleph, that why do you darshan varimosim mena maaser to pater Maaser Rishon from Truma Gedola only if ikdima b'shibalim, even if ikdima b'kri you should pater it. So I might think that that's taka true, that it's pater. So kamashmon kedushanile. So that's why we say no, like he answered him, that there are two psukim, one that says that Maaser Rishon is pater from Truma Gedola, the other says that you're chayiv if it's ikdima b'kri, you're going to be chayiv. Maaser Sheni, we then said Maaser Sheni that you did not redeem is or Hektish that you did not redeem, you can't be Mezaminon. So Pshita, of course you can't include in the Zimun. It's absolutely forbidden. So Lotzricha Sheniftu V'Shalo Niftu Kil Chasan. The case is that you did a Pidyon of the Maaser Sheni, you just didn't do the Pidyon properly. How do you do a Pidyon not properly? We already said that if you're not Mosav Chomesh, that counts as a Pidyon. So what would be a Pidyon that doesn't even count? So Maaser Sheni Gon Shepito Al Gabe Asimon. Maaser Sheni, if you use a Kesef that doesn't have a Tzura, use Asimon, you know, the old phone things were Asimos, but that is because it doesn't have an image on it. That's why it's called an Asimon. That Kesef needs to have a Tzura. So if it doesn't have a Tzura, then it's not, I mean, it has to be a minted coin by the government. That's why those who taina, like the Ran and Masech Nedarim, that there's no Dina de Malchusa Dina in Eretz Yisrael, because we're all entitled to Eretz Yisrael, and the government is just a pirate government, and whatever other arguments are made, you got to put your money where your mouth is, so to speak. Then you hold that all the currency minted by the Israeli government is not currency. It's pirate currency. It's not real currency. And therefore, you can't be pulled the Maaser Sheni on it. So if you really believe that it's a pirate government, then you got to go all the way. Then you're going to have to figure out some other way to be pulled the Maaser Sheni. But all the tzaddikim used to be pulled the Maaser Sheni on Israeli currency. The Briska Rav and the Chazanish and everybody was. So Hegdish Shechul al Gabe Karko, V'lo Pedoa B'Kesef. Or Hegdish Shifur Mechalel on Karko, but you were not pulled the B'Kesef. V'Rachmana Amar, V'Nosna Kesef, come low. And the Pasuk says that you have to give Kesef and not Karka in order to be Poda. Okay, Bez Hashem, we fell a little behind, but Bez Hashem will pick up with Shamash Achal tomorrow.